From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. We're in the middle of a debate between candidates for the mayor of La Crosse, Doug Farmer and Tim Cabot. The two responded to questions from members of the media and others gathered for this debate at UW La Crosse on Monday. The moderator is UW political science professor Joe Heim.
Okay, next question comes from Maureen McCollum to Mr. Cabot.
Ethnic, cultural, and racial diversity has been growing in La Crosse over time. Do you feel like the city as a government body or as a community as a whole can be more inclusive? How can you as a mayor facilitate those efforts?
I think we always can be more inclusive. I do feel that the universities have just, they add such a tremendous boon to our economy when you're talking about, you know, again, just the impacts that they have. But their greater impact, of course, is to add much more diversity than we would see here in this city if we didn't have the university. So it's a huge benefit. It's a huge thing that we should be celebrating each and every day. I do feel that, again, as the city government, as mayor, we should be looking out for opportunities to enhance that, to provide more diversity, whether they're, again, they're through city programs or appointments or committees or just whatever that might be, to have a more balanced representation from all members of our society. One of the things I had met with a group that was looking at, domestic benefits, domestic partner benefits, because the city doesn't currently offer those, I don't believe. And I think those are the kinds of things that we need to be looking at, again, to be encouraging as much diversity here in our community as we can.
Thank you. Mr. Farmer.
Thank you. In the older sections of the city, sometimes I call it the heart of the city, and as you particularly get to the oldest sections of the city, you have increasingly more diversity, which I enjoy, both by age, student populations, older populations, and racial diversity, which is a strong suit for living in the older sections of the city. Also, and you may not see this as diversity, but John Gardner, the founder of Common Cause, said that we all tend to associate with people like ourselves unwittingly. We don't realize that we do that. One thing I've enjoyed about the city council is you have no control who the people are going to put beside you in that seat. And it's a very learning and educational experience to realize that this person who, when they first sat there and you didn't know if you liked them, and after a couple of years you're finding that, yeah, they're okay, it's an amazing thing and it's a learning experience to discover now you care very deeply what happens to that person. And I've had that pleasure of learning that over the years. What I'm getting at is diversity comes in many different forms. Some we don't recognize because that's what I've learned sitting on the city council.
Okay, thank you. Next question comes from Lou Hillman, WKBT.
Two departments where staffing levels have been a huge focal point in the city of La Crosse are the police and fire departments. Do you believe staffing for those departments is where it should be? Should be increased or should be decreased?
Doug?
You have two questions there, and I believe staffing levels in the fire department are getting back to what they were prior to the present administration. In the police department, and I argue strenuously for this, we have a new police chief. I'm not the expert in police science. We need to give him room to show us how he's going to run that department. He's on record in theory, because certain candidates have gone and visited him and then said, this is what I need, quoting him. But he needs to put his budget together. He needs to put his imprint on that department. Neither Mr. Cabot, I'm speaking for Mr. Cabot, and I have huge police science skills. We're both concerned for the direction of the city, both in terms of crimes in our neighborhood. But we hired him. It's his first year, and we need to see what he's going to do.
Mr. Cabot?
Well, I watch a lot of Law and Order. I don't know if that may helps. But I do think that the staffing levels in both of those departments need to be full staff. So I do think that there are opportunities where, because they've both been down, there's been a number of cuts in both of those departments, and I do think we need to look at getting those staffing levels up to the point where we can continue and basically keep our first-class services. How you pay for that, of course, is the big question. And again, I think that's where we need to look at all of those opportunities to collaborate, to partner, looking at possibly, again, more regional service,
and other opportunities to find those resources. I know in one case there was a partnership between the city, between Paul Hood Hamilton Neighborhood and Gunderson Lutheran, who were trying to work on writing a grant for the, through the Department of Criminal Justice for some additional police officers as a part of neighborhood efforts down in the Paul Hood Hamilton area. Now, the grant didn't actually go through, but I think it was a very good learning experience about, again, the types of opportunities that might be out there. And if you have some specific needs and some good partnerships between our large employers, our city government, and others, you can explore those options, and that's what I would like to do as mayor, working with the departments, working with the city council, because, again, there's all very smart people who have looked at the budgets and have tried to be very efficient and effective, and so we need to be looking at some of these other opportunities as well.
Okay, thank you. Next question comes from Jake Laycamp.
Can each of you speak about the neighborhood revitalization plans that you may have, including not only the building improvements, but what could the city do to invest in the people in those targeted neighborhoods?
Tim? As far as our neighborhood revitalization program, I mean, I've focused on a few areas. Housing is obviously one of those critical components because, you know, housing is what makes up our neighborhoods. And so we need a combination, really, of rebuilding our housing stock in certain areas. There are certain areas of the city where the housing stock is basically it's you know, aged to the point where it just it needs to change. And so whether that's, again, through new housing programs or rehabilitation programs, I think that has to be a big part of it. And we have programs in place. I would like to do more with, again, our larger institutions investing in our neighborhoods and partnering with our nonprofit groups, partnering with the city to try to provide those housing or additional housing. And I think that's something, again, as mayor, that I would really like to pursue. Crime is also an issue in certain parts of the neighborhood, and we really need to work on that. And again, I'm a big believer in the community policing model, where neighborhoods and the police work together. They build a relationship over time, and they just work better together as a team. And what ends up happening, of course, is the police are out walking the beat. They're out of their patrol cars more often. They get to know the neighbors, and that helps to reduce crime and address crime. And then as far as investing in our people, we've got many workforce development partners. We have, obviously, you know, three institutions of higher learning who are creating, you know, graduates with great skills. And for those that we want to keep, those graduates that we want to keep here in the city, we should be looking at any kinds of programs, incentives. I mean, maybe there's opportunities to partner with our large employers and offer ways to, you know, pay off student loans if students will agree to live here in La Crosse for a period of time. I mean, I think there's all kinds of things that we just haven't explored that we should. And that's a big part of the neighborhood program that I'd like to bring as mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Farmer.
For 22 years, I've been the chairman of the city's Housing Rehab Committee, which is the primary committee responsible for neighborhood preservation, revitalization. I would tell you that if we give people good, safe places to live, to sleep, and to raise their families, that's quite an investment in them, because you've given something to them that every person wants. Now, I have proposed that when TIF number 4 expires, we get exploit a state statute or utilize it, which we could potentially get $3 million going in that direction. Every time I mention that, Mr. Cabot says we'll only build so many homes. That's the housing replacement program, which that committee was also responsible for. But the housing rehab program will multiply the dollars like there's no tomorrow, because that's new windows, it's siding, it's roofing, lead paint on the inside, and you can get significant improvements for the money that we can spend. And then all that money comes back to the taxpayer. There's not one penny that is gone forever. It all comes back to the taxpayer. Also, I have suggested that we have a 311 system for reporting nonviolent crimes. That's key. I live in those neighborhoods. People in those neighborhoods do not want to call. Many people do not want to call 911 with a nonviolent crime. A nonviolent crime which degrades a neighborhood is public urination, public consumption, excessive noise, cars blocking the alley, all those things that degrade a neighborhood so quickly, and they do. I always think public urination is the worst because the evidence remains. Okay, then that was phase 1 and 2, and now to just tease you, phase 3 this week later on.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, the neighborhood revitalization program that he's referring to, the $3 million, is actually $1 million of tax increment financing funds. If you look at the city's housing replacement program, it costs $200,000 to build a new house. That's five new homes. Again, that's a great start, but, you know, we have a ways to go. I believe, again, working with the police department on community policing rather than creating a whole new, you know, 311 system or whatever it is, because our police already are stretched to the limit. So a new system just is going to add to that.
Next question comes from Chris Hardy.
I'm going to take my 30 seconds. This is my milieu. Housing replacement, I told you, he suggests that. I can get, doing the math, 10-15 times number of the houses he's talking about it using the housing rehab program. And we have lots of houses that don't need to be demolished and have housing replacement. Lots of houses that we can do and improve very quickly. We just haven't had enough money. Let me add it.
Can I respond?
30 seconds.
Well, again, you know, given the opportunity when you were on the council in 2006 to fund a neighborhood revitalization program, which we created for the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood to build five new homes a year for 20 years, you know, the council decided it wasn't a priority at that time. If they would have funded those five homes a year for 20 years, or for the last 7 or 8 years, we'd have almost 40 new homes just in the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood alone. So, again, I think it's an issue of we need action, and I'm bringing that action orientation to City Hall.
I'll just point out, Joe, we didn't do it because it didn't cash flow. The outflow was greater than the inflow.
I'd like to try to get through one more round here, and so I'm going to ask the candidates to limit their answers to 1 minute. Chris Hardy.
You have both stated that you're opposed to the North-South Corridor as it was proposed in 1998. How do you stand on particular stages of that plan to improve traffic flow in the city, including the prospect of making 6th and 7th Streets one-way corridors?
Mr. Farmer.
So I get the first one-minute question, huh? I'm opposed. I'm not keen on anything going through the marsh. Anything that goes through the main part of the city, of course, is going to be going through some neighborhoods. I don't wish to see that stress put on them. And then I'm not especially enthralled with making 6th and 7th one way.
I'm also strongly opposed to any new roads through the marsh. I feel that we've got to be working on our existing transportation system, our public transit, looking at rapid bus transit, improving our pedestrian bicycle connections. You know, that's the way to go. That's going to be the best solution for the city and for our region. And I'm also very leery of creating one-way pairs because when you're talking about it from a business perspective, you want that two-way traffic in front of you, and to have 6th and 7th Street be one-ways, that's going to create, I think, just you know, some issues there. So I would really be very concerned about making those kinds of changes. I think we've got the ability here, and looking at our existing transportation system and public transit and working with our large employers to solve some of those issues rather than building more roads through the marsh.
We should toss in here that both Tim and I always referenced Dave Miles, our primary opponent, who always made the point that La Crosse was a five-minute city. Everything's within 5 minutes.
Okay, last question. If you could look ahead 4 years, what would you like to be remembered for if you were elected mayor?
Well, my answer is a real simple one. I want La Crosse to be a better place 4 years from now than it is today. And I really believe that by working together and partnering with the departments, with the city council, with our citizens, and with all of you, that's how it's going to get done. Because as mayor, I won't pretend to have all the answers. I think you have to work together with the community, and that's what I'm hopeful for the 4 years from now, that we have a better city than what we have today.
Mr. Farmer.
We've had, this is going to come close to my opening remarks, so we've had 4 years of drift. By some criteria, maybe eight of turmoil or whatever. I was there when it worked. You know, we have good people. We have good department heads, good staff. I mean, it's a good place. I would like to be the guy that made it work again. And it can be done. I've seen it. It can be made to work again. The hub of the wheel needs some experience, the hub of the wheel being the mayor's office. And that's really, in 4 years, that's what I'd like to be known for. If I were to run for re-election, then we'd talk about neighborhood preservation in the 8-year window.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. We're now going to move to closing remarks. First go is Mr. Farmer.
Well, I started with 4 years adrift and 8 years of turmoil. City Hall can work, and I have been there. You have richly blessed me by letting me be there for those years. And in those years, I've had the experience of doing budgets at the county, where I was fortunate enough to be the county finance chairman for 4 years. We put together a budget at 4 years that had no tax levy increase, a 6% decrease in the mill rate, a 6% decrease in personnel. Because of you, I've been allowed to learn municipal borrowings and bonding. I've negotiated health insurance contracts. I've done union negotiations, all of that. I think Mayor Harder would have been a better mayor if he had spent one term on the city council. I'm sure Mr. Cabot doesn't like it when, and I apologize for that, when I say that I think he would be a better mayor if he had spent one term on the city council, maybe two. But I think that's necessary. We all hear the phrase weak mayor, strong council system. We hear it to where we can see it in our sleep, but we really don't know what it means. The mayor gets to push with a string. Unless the mayor has a relationship with the council members and the 17 department heads, it isn't going to be very good. And I have that relationship. I'm not going to tell you that I get along with every council member. There's some on the outer ring, the outer orbit, as I call it. I'm not going to tell you I get along with every department head. But I have a relationship with them to start with, and that will make things go easier. And then with that, I'd hope make City Hall run better, and then we can get to my 20-year love, and that is neighborhood preservation.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Mr. Cabot.
Well, again, I want to thank everyone for the opportunity to be here tonight to talk about these issues, to try to, again, promote ideas that are going to move our city forward to grow and improve our great city of La Crosse. And again, I want to be your next mayor because I love this city, as I said earlier. This city has just tremendous opportunities, and I think, you know, what it lacks is a leader who's got a vision, who has a new perspective, who is going to bring people together, and that's really what I'm all about. I've spent my time, my 20-plus years at the local level, bringing people together and really trying to resolve the challenges and address those things that hold us back. And that's really what I'm going to bring to the mayor's office, I hope. I respectfully ask for your vote on April 2nd, and I've thoroughly enjoyed this campaign. As I mentioned earlier, knocking on a lot of doors, getting to know many of you at your front door, learning about your issues. And again, I'll just reiterate, what I've heard is that our voters, our citizens want a city government to get along and to get the job done. They want a mayor and a council and departments and citizens to come together, and I really feel strongly that that's my skills. That's what I have to offer. And again, you know, Mr. Farmer's experience is great, 26 years on the council, but we have arrived at this point because of the last 20 years of issues of taxes and neighborhood deterioration, and I'm going to bring some new energy and enthusiasm to change that and, to make our city a better place. So thank you very much.
And with that, we come to the end of this debate between the two candidates for mayor of La Crosse, Doug Farmer and Tim Cabot. They'll face off in next Tuesday's general election. The winner will be sworn into office on April 16th. The debate was held on Monday night at the UW-La Crosse campus. The moderator was UW political science professor Joe Heim. Co-sponsors of the debate included UWL Student Association, UWL Political Science Public Administration Department, the UWL Joint Legislative Relations Committee, WKBT-TV, WISM Radio, the League of Women Voters, the La Crosse Tribune, and Wisconsin Public Radio. You can hear an archive of this program and the debate in its entirety at our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. You'll find links to archives of our shows, our producers and staff at wpr.org/lacrosse, or like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.